podcast, Rule of Law Rules, from the Konrad Adenauer Foundation. My name is Angela Daly, and in this new podcast, we will talk to international experts about the rule of law in the age of digitalization. We will gain insights into recent developments in different parts of the world. For example, we will have a look at the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, better known as the GDPR. How has it influenced data protection worldwide? How is data protection handled in other parts of the world? How can we establish international standards, and what will happen next? We are going to ask our first guest, Frederik Richter, these questions for this inaugural Rule of Law Rules podcast, which will launch on Data Protection Day. Our first guest is Frederik Richter, the director of Stiftung Datenschutz, a non-profit foundation based in Germany. He is a lawyer by background, specialised in law and information technology. He has more than 10 years of experience in technology, politics and policy. Welcome, Frederik, and thanks for joining us.
Hello, Angela. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
To start, three quick statements. I will start a sentence and you can finish it with the first thing that comes to mind. Data protection is my favourite topic because...
Because it's indispensable and I like it personally very much and it's very interesting to work in that area.
The first time I realised the importance of data protection was...
It was the development of the internet in the end of the 1990s.
Data protection is a typically German thing because...
Because of our history in Germany, we had two dictatorships based on data.
Can you tell us more about what your organisation, Stiftung Datenschutz, or the Foundation for Data Protection, is doing in this area?
The Stiftung Datenschutz, the German Foundation for Data Protection, which was established in 2013 by the federal government, the foundation sees itself as a kind of platform for discussions around data protection law and data politics, and also as a platform that should bring information on the GDPR and data protection questions to the people and especially to those organizations who have to follow the rules, who have to implement GDPR stipulations. And doing so, we want to bring together the different views that there are concerning data protection.
The implementation of the EU General Data Protection Regulation in May 2018 is seen as a significant development as it marks a new era for data protection across the globe. What do you think of the GDPR?
Well, the GDPR really is a milestone in legislation. Because before that, we had 27 different legislations in Europe, in the European Union. And now the revolution does not necessarily comes from the content of the data protection law, but from the unity where the EU went to. And also, it set a global standard. There are many states and regions in the world which take the GDPR as a point of orientation for their own privacy laws. Abroad in California, you could see it with the California Consumer Protection Act, and also other states like Brazil or some Asian states took the GDPR as a kind of good example how to modernize and how to align your ideas of data protection.
Do you see differences in the approach to data protection in Europe?
Yes, of course, there are differences because of the different importance that data protection had in the different member states in the past. Of course, in Germany, we always had this data protection idea as a very crucial point where some energy has to be put in by legislation, also by enforcement. That is why we had the first data protection authorities in Germany. We had in the federal state of Hesse the first data protection law in the world in 1970. We frankly have more experience in designing data protection laws and enforcing them than other member states. But of course, we cannot say the Germans are the best when it comes to data protection. We have to respect also other cultures of data protection within the European Union.
Can you give us an overview of the data governance situation in Germany more generally? So I know that the GDPR has been implemented, but can you tell us a bit more about how that has happened in Germany and perhaps why some of your stakeholders have the views that they have? So around either enforcement or data protection being too bureaucratic or not strong enough?
Yeah, when it comes to GDPR, it seems that the Germans have a special kind of role in that. And this is right, because when you look at the concrete content of the GDPR, and then when you compare it to the data protection laws Germany had before GDPR, the federal bill on data protection, the Bundesdatenschutzgesetz, which we had since the end of the 1970s in Germany, you will find many elements which are quite similar. So we, the Germans, are used to many meanings of many provisions of the GDPR, although many of our smaller organizations, of SMEs, of charitable organizations, they never felt the duty to go that deep into data protection compliance before the GDPR. So also with the German industry, with all sectors in Germany, there was kind of surprise which duties from data protection are to be implemented into their daily life after 2018. Then in 2018, the Germans were the first to have a law that implements those parts of the GDPR into national law where that was necessary. It's the new Bundesdatenschutzgesetz, the successor of the first Bundesdatenschutzgesetz. But that does not mean that that everything was clear after this national implementation, because there were those who said the GDPR is not that effective when it comes to protect the single person, the natural data subject, against those international data platforms. And others said, the GDPR is much too bureaucratic and it kind of chokes new business models in Germany. Perhaps there were those discussions in other EU member states. I think they were and they are still. So it is not that we are the best to implement the law. We were the first to make efforts in legislation. And of course, we have a strong debate around some details right now, especially when it comes to German peculiarities like the Datenschutzbeauftragte. In our companies, there has to be a person who has to advise the leaders of the company when it comes to data protection compliance. This is a kind of old model. We have this since decades in Germany, and we try to export this into the GDPR area, into the other member states of the EU. We succeeded in a way that there are provisions in the GDPR to have such data protection advisors within your company, also in other member states by now. But although we have the discussion in Germany, if this is really necessary for small and medium-sized enterprises to have such people. We at Stiftung Datenschutz, we believe it is necessary to have them because they can contribute to a very good implementation of the GDPR within your house, within your organization. But there's an ongoing discussion on this. So in Germany, we are not perfect in that state, but we are on a very good way.
So in your view, do you think it's fair or appropriate that huge companies like Facebook and Google are subject to the same data protection obligations, broadly speaking, as a small or medium enterprise in, let's say, your town in Germany?
That leads to the question if it's a good approach to have a kind of one-size-fits-all legislation. Because when you look at it as a whole, it seems like treating companies of any size the same. But when you look into the law some deeper, there are certain points where the efforts to documentate, to inform your customers is much lower when you are not a company like Facebook, but perhaps a producer of screws and hammers, because then you won't do any profiling or other very, very risk-related tasks with special kinds of data. Contrasting this notion of a one-size-fits-all legislation, there is the approach of a risk-based approach into the GDPR woven in, because data protection always has the aim to protect people against risks developing from data processing. So it depends. It always depends on the risk you generate when you process data, how much efforts on technical measures you have to implement in your procedures in your company. So that is where a risk-based approach is built in when you see the technical measures you have to implement.
Has the private sector been involved in these dialogues? Is the private sector in Germany working with regulators and data protection authorities and policymakers in a collaborative sense to enforce and implement GDPR standards?
Yes, I would say so. On the one hand, you have the obligation from the GDPR to work with your DPA that is competent for your doings as a company. But if we don't look at the law, we have to look at practice. And of course, most of the companies, they don't want problems with data protection. They don't want harms for their reputation. They don't want sanctions. They don't want fines. They don't want media reports on fines. Of course, they are very interested in the view of the regulators and DPAs, how in their respective federal state the GDPR has to be interpreted. And so we see a dialogue. Of course, that is a matter of capacity, because the federal states don't fund their DPAs in the way that would be appropriate. In my view, there are hundreds, thousands of enterprises in one federal state, but then there are between 20 and 80 staffers working at the DPA. So they cannot advise all of their companies because, yes, it's a matter of capacity. But I would recommend the federal states to fund the DPAs better than they do today, because the result would be more knowledge about the best way to implement GDPR in your federal state.
And what about from the regulatee's side? Has compliance with GDPR standards in Germany been good on behalf of the private sector, or is there still some work to do?
Of course, there's still a lot of work to do, but we are on a very good way. I think data protection is now, to date, one of the fixed parts of compliance the company looks on. When you would have asked a range of companies in, let's say, 2010, 2009, how about their data protection efforts and how about the number of people in their enterprise who deal with data protection questions, it would have looked disastrous in comparison to today, where not only the large companies do really care for data protection, because it's a normal part of compliance. And of course, some spectacular fines have their part in reaching this status. Because if there is a fine of some million euros, media will cover this, and the C-level of companies will read this and will ask their legal department, are we fit in GDPR issues? Are we fit for data protection compliance? And then there will be concepts developed and implemented. Perhaps it's a matter of size, because the larger companies, they were quite good prepared also on the brink of the new norms coming into practice in May 2018. When you look at Deutsche Bahn, Deutsche Telekom, and such large players with a lot of staff also in the data privacy department, they were quite well prepared for GDPR coming into force. And others, especially smaller ones, didn't have that capacity that days. And they are still on their way to kind of perfect, if perfection is reachable at all, kind of perfect GDPR compliance. So there is a way in front of us. There are things to do, but I see the German economy on a good way.
And also, public authorities have to comply with data protection norms in European Union. How has that been in Germany? Have government agencies, whether at the federal level or at the level of states, been good at complying with data protection?
Well, of course, state organizations have to show a good example of data protection compliance, especially in Germany, where the fear of too broad surveillance is in the DNA of the Germans when you look at the German past. So we have a very, very sharp look at what the state does. There are no significant scandals reported in Germany when it comes to how the state processes data. Of course, we have discussions more on a political level, how the state and its agencies should be able to deal with data, especially secret services, the police, and other organizations. Perhaps that is more in the focus of the public discussion than how, let's say, a municipal servant deals with data. It's more focused on the police and, yeah, intelligence agencies.
We've spoken quite a lot about the situation in Germany. Obviously, that's where you're based and where your organisation is based. But has your organisation had much involvement in debates and dialogues in Europe or internationally about data protection?
Of course, we follow the development. We are not an international player right now. We are a national foundation. We are founded by the federal government. And it took us some years to show that we also have to be funded some better than we were in the past. We are on a good way by now. The federal government for this new year has granted better funding to us, so we will expand our activities and perhaps also shall some kind of deepen the international dialogue with other entities like us in Europe, perhaps also some transatlantic issues to cover, because the way data is processed, the way data usage is regulated has to be discussed perhaps on a global level. Just look at the decision of the European Court of Justice concerning transatlantic data flows, the Schrems II judgment, and these are all issues that have to be discussed on an international level.
What do you think will be the future of data governance activities in the region over the next few years? How important do you think these developments will be, and how do you think they will impact upon data governance internationally?
When it comes to data governance, the whole usage of data and the protection of people has to be thought together in a more holistic way than in the past, I think. And there are certain voices who say we have to foster the use of data for the common good, as well as we have to protect people from the misuse of data. And perhaps there is a great chance to think these two lines together in the future. We have the GDPR. This really is a success, and we'll see if the Data Governance Act will become such a success as well, and will become such a orientation point for other legislations in the world as well in the future. And I think this is a chance that the European Commission has to grasp and has to think of when it comes to fill the Data Governance Act with life. And of course, also antitrust law and data protection law have to be thought together when it comes to regulate large global platforms, because data protection law alone is not the sufficient instrument to regulate the strong power of international platforms with data-based business models.
Thank you, Frederick. That's the end of our longer questions, but we would like to finish the podcast with some more quick questions for you. So again, I'll start the sentence and you can finish it. So first question, data protection is so big in Europe because?
Because we have a big history in data protection.
Data protection still needs to get better at?
At corresponding with the dynamic needs of practice.
And finally, the rule of law rules because?
Because the rule of law protects humanity.
Great. Thank you very much. This was the first edition of our new podcast, The Rule of Law Rules, with our guest, Frederick Richter. In the show notes, you can find out more about Frederick, links to the Foundation for Data Protection, and more information about the Konrad Adenauer Foundation and its Rule of Law programme, which this podcast is part of. Join us for our next episode at the end of February, when we will be talking to Ioana Stupiaru. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel, where we will release new episodes of the Rule of Law Rules at the end of every month. If you liked this episode, then please give us a good rating and tell your data law geek friends about us too. I hope you've enjoyed our new podcast. See you next time.